All right, should we talk about the
Yeah, I
episode?
guess you gotta sing first, right?
Are we recording?
We are, yes, I think. Are you, did
Yes,
you hit record?
I did.
Do, do, da!
Good, get it out of your system.
Do, do, do. Do, do, do. Do, do, do.
I still can't tell if this is a bit or if this is an actual struggle. I can never tell. I think that the problem that you have is your original version was just do, 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 do,
Sure.
do. But the thing is, in the theme,
Yeah,
there's a note above the regular note, and I don't know the terms, but that's what
That's
you're
fine.
trying to hit, the high one. But you can
No,
just
that's
go
all
with the
good.
original performance.
It's
Just
all good.
be
This is
true to
totally,
yourself.
it's totally a bit. No, it's totally a
Okay,
bit.
all
It's
right.
okay.
Oh.
Do, do, do. It's vibrato. Hello.
Oh, okay.
That's no. It's vibrato. Welcome to Ever Would, Never Wouldn't podcast, where I, Adam Lover, make my friends
Eric
and KT.
watch and discuss with me the now second season of the hit early 2000s WB teen slash family drama
Sex
Everwood.
Club. Oh, shit. It's
Oh.
Everwood, I think.
Mm.
Everwood, 13-year-old Bean. What the
Jesus Christ. Tonight's episode, season
Oh,
two,
13-year-old Bean.
episode 3-inch dick. No, this feels really bad.
It's very weird, but it's the show, okay? The
Yes,
show
it is the
made us
show.
talk about it. We're not like
Yes.
thinking about 13-year-olds having
In
sex
the
on a regular
on the
basis.
DVD, did they not cut out the sex scenes?
They even
My
got a bunch of
God.
deleted unaired scenes
Oh
where,
my God. Jeez.
season two, episode three, My Brother's Keeper, written by Vanessa Taylor, directed by Michael Schultz. Original air date, September 29th, 2003. That's my mom's birthday.
Oh,
That's our son's
that's
birthday.
our son's
And
birthday, yeah.
my mom's name is Linda.
Weird.
Official episode description from the DVD booklet. This means war! Exclamation point. Sibling rivalry erupts when Harold's globe-trotting physician sister returns home to join his practice. Andy confronts parents who refuse to believe their middle school age kids are sexually active.
Yep.
I was kind of looking over the official episode descriptions in the booklet earlier today, and we are in store for a lot more of that kind of flavor of like, this means war. Like they got really colorful with the season two episode descriptions. Like
Well,
somebody decided to throw their personality around when they
nice.
wrote these, which is
No, it was just somebody
great.
really excited about the show, Adam. God, give him a break. They love season two. Maybe it was like a newly employed person. This was the first job they've ever had, and they really wanted to do really well writing the episode description.
It's better at least than like I've seen like some Netflix descriptions of like of episodes of like Star Trek or like where it's just like the description of the episode is just the description of the first scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like this character approaches this character. And I'm like, that is not what the episode is about. Like, you just watched the first scene, and I just skipped it.
Well, I told you the other day there's too much Star Trek content. Even the people who are responsible for writing descriptions can't be bothered to watch all of the episodes. Okay, Adam?
Sure.
Jeez.
Sure. what do we think about season two, episode three?
It's much better than the previous episode, I will say that. At least I was entertained.
Last episode was Kristen Bell and a breast augmentation surgery.
So many stupid things.
College stuff. Yeah,
yeah, it was all teen stuff. This is much better. Yeah.
Either give us adult storylines or middle school kids having sex storylines.
Well, okay.
Preteens.
Oh, God.
Like, not interesting. Give us more.
Jeez.
I don't want to think about a 17-year-old's boobs. I don't want to think about a 13-year-old's boobs.
Stop, God.
Really?
Well, it was so, I mean, yes, the whole time I was watching it, every time one of these scenes happened, I was like, what am I watching? Like, what's happening? But still, I think it was trying to appeal to the parents who were watching the show or like of the time and like say, hey, guess what? Because like, okay, we have a 10-year-old son now. I am one who's very actively always thinking about like, okay, when's that next step? When something's going to happen? Because I'm nervous about it. But I think most people live in denial of their children's like sexuality or like the fact that they turn into grownups. Like at some point they're going to turn into young adults and then adults. And like people don't like to think about that shit. Mm-hmm. They really don't. And so like, yeah, I liked that it was like, it seemed like it was super impossible, but that's absolutely untrue. Like, it's very possible. And the parents reacting to it was just, man, it was so weird. It was so entertaining, though.
Classic Everwood townies.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
Well, the episode starts off with a little flashback to 1968 in Everwood, which is kind of fun.
All right, this is it. Who wants to hear the spiel first? All right, Hero. Here you come.
Mother, if I may, I'd like to take this opportunity to review my pros and cons list for your military tour.
Junior, I know this is hard on you. It's going to be even harder on your sister. I want you to take care of her, okay? You're her superior. That puts her in your chain of command. That makes her well-being your responsibility. You got it? You're a good kid, Harold. Try not to take everything so seriously. Go get your sister.
Mom, can I visit you in Vietnam?
That might be a little bit tricky from a logistics standpoint, but I'll see what I can do. Now listen, Linda, I told your older brother to take care of you while I was gone, but we both know that's a bunch of hooey. Truth is, I'm counting on you to take care of him. Understood?
Understood.
That's my girl.
I thought this was a fun way to start the episode.
Yeah.
We were both like, whoa, like, wasn't that you?
Kind of cool.
Yeah, we were like, whoa, what's happening? What are we watching? That was fun.
We get to see Edna say to each of the siblings, like, take care of the other.
Yeah.
And when she just says, you know, I told him to take care of you, but really it's going to be you take care of him. Linda's very excited for Edna that she's going to see the world. And then we fast forward to present day. We see Marcia Cross.
Hold on one second. I just thought of something about that scene. Was it?
Sure.
It was weird to me that they had like the dad be like an adult in like Peanuts or something.
Yeah, he wasn't on the screen like
he
at
was
all.
Like, that he God, just like, God, hey, kids, I need a moment with your mother.
I wonder if they hired an actor and they were like, he didn't show up, and they were like, just throw the hey, come over here.
I mean, I think the thing is that Harold's father, Edna's, you know, husband, would be a significant enough character.
Yeah, to that, wait like, to
if
cast.
If you're going to cast somebody to play him,
yeah,
it needs to be in an episode where he's going to be like central. Right. So because he's not in the he's not central to the story, then I think it makes sense to have him just kind of be.
It was just weird.
It was just weird.
It felt weird. It was.
I understand that explanation because I thought the same thing, but like it was
like I was like expecting to see him like the camera like cutting him off at like right at right, his
or
chin
or
his
at
face.
Least, like, having
no,
some
no,
kind
I'm
of
saying
thing.
It was weird. Oh. Like it was. It seemed like it was almost like a thing where it's like. I feel like shows or something do that when it's like from a kid's perspective when like adults are like depicted. That's why I said Peanuts because the adults just all.
Well,
it's not the same thing.
Was there a physical body there? Though?
I don't think so.
Because that's what was weird to me. Like I understand what you're saying, but like for me it was like they didn't even have somebody like. Just off to the side, like a suit or something, you know what I mean? Like, and then gesturing. Like, I felt like at least that would ground you. They wouldn't have to have the face necessarily because it's still, it is the kids. It's the kids' perspective.
I think in the establishing shot, they had
a guy.
Like, you could see, yeah, like the father.
Okay.
I don't know if he really could make out his face, but yeah, he was.
I think it was just that line that was a little, because it was also the sound mixing wasn't so great. So he was like, hey. Come over. Like it just it felt very out of place. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I forget if we ever see an actor who plays Harold's father, like in flashbacks, later in the series. We very well might. I don't remember.
I hope it's Jimmy Stewart. I'm just kidding.
Jimmy Stewart. We do have Marsha Cross as grown Linda. I knew her from Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, that was what my pull was. I never really watched that show. I think I maybe saw some of the
is
first
that
episode.
I think that's the sister?
Yeah, Linda.
I don't know her at all.
I think I watched the first season of Desperate Housewives, but that's it. And yeah, that was also had the actress who played Julia, Andy's deceased wife. Uh-huh. She was also in Desperate Housewives as the woman who dies and then is around as a ghost.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah, it's so weird.
But yeah, Marsha Cross, she has shown back up to Everwood. She's at the train station, which is now a doctor's office. Yeah, just kind of a fun new variable in the show.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we're closed for the night. Is this an emergency?
No, this used to be a train station.
You're a couple of years too late. Did you need to go somewhere?
I already did that. Just got back. Every time I come here, I feel like I've fallen down a rabbit hole into some other time and place.
I have similar thoughts every day.
At the same time, it's so familiar. Even now. I missed it this time.
I'm sorry, who did you say you...
Linda! Oh, baby. Oh. Dr. Brown, I want you to meet my daughter, Linda.
Which is cool. Of course, she gets annoying fast. Because in the scene after the opening titles, she is like telling all these stories about her traveling around the world and... But it seems like
but she doesn't
like
even want to. Yeah.
Did you want to talk about Edna's reaction?
Oh,
to her?
I loved that. That was like my favorite. It was like the
yes.
It felt the most warm and most like joyful I've ever seen Edna was when she saw her grown daughter walk at the door or whatever. She was so excited and her face glowed and it really all of a sudden made me go, oh, like this actress is actually acting when she's playing this part because she's so like, I think that she probably is a nice, warm person because I sometimes feel like the Edna character is like really put on. So it was like, it felt just so much more beautiful when I saw her smile. Don't you think? Like it felt more natural. Yeah. It really did.
Mm-hmm. I would love to meet Deborah Mooney.
Yes.
I think she... Yeah, I love her in the show, and I would love to just tell her, like, look, I loved you at Everwood.
Oh,
I know it's
God.
Been years and years.
Yes.
Like, you were amazing at that.
Absolutely. I love Edna. Like,
your guest of the podcast, Deborah Mooney. Linda has some gifts for the Abbott children, as well as for Harold. But yeah, she gives, I like the mask that she gives Bright. And Bright is like, hey, it looks like you, Dad.
Yeah.
Which is true. It does.
Yeah, it really did. Hair. Like a lot.
Just this like long, narrow, severe face. I always like the line in the scene where, you know, we start to see if like very clearly, right, that Harold is not enthused to see his sister.
These are lovely presents, Linda.
Yes, bribery of affection at its finest. Archie, too, time for school. Come on, let's go.
I have something for you too, Harry.
Better. Bye. What?
It's an instrument. They use it to call the flock home.
Yes, well, that will be very useful when I've lost all my sheep.
Happy to see me, Harry?
Of course I am. Though I would have appreciated a call or an email regarding your intention to visit. Didn't even know till Mother told me yesterday.
I wanted her all to myself. We went out drinking.
Why don't you take the day off? I'll write you a doctor's note.
Oh, yes, I'm sure that will be very persuasive to my ailing patients. No, I'm afraid some of us doctors do have borders and schedules. If you don't mind, I have an important consultation.
He says it like 45 times in one scene. It's like, yeah. This is a way for me to be mean, and this is a way for me. Guys, guess what? He is upset with his sister, if you didn't pick that up. It was so heavy.
He's been in withdrawal because he's too friendly with Andy now.
Yeah.
He's got to be mean to somebody now.
Yeah.
I've always liked the line, you know, some of us doctors do have borders. But yeah, that's a solid line.
Yeah, that was his go-to dig reference was Doctors Without Borders. Mm-hmm. And throughout the episode he had a few of those.
We get a great little diner scene with Andy and Harold.
Aww.
You met your sister last night, Harold.
Well, that's rich. My only sister's been away for 3 years. She doesn't bother to tell me she's coming home. Doesn't bother to stop by when she arrives. But you, she's got to see.
Not close then, the two of you?
Well, as close as two siblings can be when one has faithfully upheld 110% of the family obligations while the other traipses around the globe like some kind of Baedeker-toting Dr. Quinn. Peace Corps, Doctors Without Borders, Medical Institute of Beijing. Meanwhile, I'm here, cutting out Thurman Revere's ingrown toenail in the same office as my father occupied for 40 years.
I know what you mean.
How would you know what I mean? Even you had your moment in the sun outside these pitiful environs.
You're right. I don't know what you mean. I was just trying to be nice. Brighten up, Harold.
Brighten up, Harold. We get the introduction of the sex club storyline.
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness.
Woo! Mina asks Andy to talk to this kid about sex, and Andy's very reluctant, which you seem to be kind of confused by, KT.
I think I was confused by the actor.
Williams?
What was I confused by? Specify?
When Nina asked him out on the street.
To talk to the kid about sex.
Can you talk to my kids, my friend's kid?
Okay, sorry, I thought you were talking about the kid, the first interaction between the kid and the doctor, because that was weird too. But I just thought it was weird that, like, this character who we've been set up to, even like to his children, like talks very professionally and clinically, like having an issue talking to a young patient about sex or bodily, puberty. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it makes total sense for him to be reluctant to try to talk to a kid about sex, because the last time we saw him doing that was in the aftermath of Delia finding the porno mag and giving it to like Arnie for his birthday, and like that whole scene where he was trying to talk to her was like painfully awkward.
But that's his own daughter. Like, that's a little different.
I think he'd have some muscle memory, and especially if he's at all aware of like, yeah, I kind of suck at that.
Oh, and my like, God, he's a medical doctor and he has a problem discussing like puberty and sex. He never studied sex in school. He doesn't know how it works. That's why he's so nervous. He only studied brain surgery throughout his entire scholastic career. It's just, to me, a little silly. Because, like, what? He's such a doctor. That's, like, his whole thing. Doctor, doctor, man. And now he's like, whoa, hold on. Talking about sex with a patient?
The other thing, though, is that, like, you know, I think he's probably still feeling, like, kind of Everwood shy because of, like, the aftermath of Colin. And just, like, I wouldn't blame him for, like, kind of going forward, just being like, you know what?
I shouldn't be a doctor ever.
Like, I'm going to start drawing some boundaries between me and the town folk.
Some borders.
They all hate me.
But, like, he's a medical doctor. This is part of his job.
Yeah, but it's also, like, this random woman is not his patient. This is just a friend of Nina's. Like, you know, I get why he would, like, his default might be, like, yeah.
Everyone knows each other eventually if you look far enough. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's how is a doctor? I don't know. I don't believe these arguments, Adam. No.
All right.
Wow.
Shut it down. I'm fair sorry. Enough. Fine. You know what? Now I don't like Everwood anymore because Adam doesn't like it. When I don't like something about the show, look how disappointed his face looked.
Well, yeah, he doesn't like it when you're wrong.
Yeah, that's what I don't
your
like.
Friend.
If it was something you didn't like about the show that you were right about, then that would be another thing.
oh my goodness.
So let's follow the sex club story.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yikes.
You see, when you're 13, you have all these hormones just racing through your body, and they're making you have different feelings and sensations that you've never had before. So it's okay if you meet a girl and you like her and you want to hold her hand or kiss her, or maybe even you want to... Jeez. Oh, I'm sorry. I made you uncomfortable. I'm so sorry. You know, look, listen. Travis, it's not as though you have to do any of those things now. I mean, you can wait as long as you need. You can wait until after college.
I've done all those things. I've done a lot more.
I thought that kid was going to be a shithead when he first showed
up.
Right.
He looked the cast.
He looks like a shithead.
His face even, he looks like an angry, like, tough guy kid. Like, and then they were like, oh, he had therapy at one point, and that's it. That was the explanation. Like,
dad left, he had counseling.
But you're right. Like, but it was like that. Oh, that discredits him. Like, that was the entire thing. I thought it was going to be that he was a liar. Honestly, I kept thinking that they were pursuing this and he was actually a pathological liar or something like that. Like,
I think they need, so I think that the casting made sense that, like, they needed it to be a kid who looks like he might lie about this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But still.
Or that other kids would feel comfortable beating the shit out of.
Right! Yes!
Their punchable face.
Yes.
That was in the cast description. Looking for a kid with shitty haircut and punchable face.
A kid with a punchable face.
Well, originally, was he trying to steal condoms from somebody?
Yes. He did steal them, or yeah. I guess he got caught.
Yeah, he got caught stealing condoms.
And so then when Andy's trying to talk to him about sex stuff, Travis is like, I've done all of those things and more.
Yep.
Which is our first sense of, huh.
I thought he was going to be abused. There were so many. I did not predict sex club like at all. I was like, abuse? Like, what's, is he a pathological liar?
No, when he
liar?
Said that stuff, I thought he was just lying that he hadn't done anything. But I don't know. Yeah. Was like embarrassed about something.
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
This is now two seasons now where like a few episodes in, they do a story about like kids having sex. In season one, episode 4, it was the teenagers having sex and there being like an STD scare, and now three episodes into season 2 they're doing something with like middle schoolers who are also fooling around.
I don't like this trend.
Yeah, season 3.
Oh god. What is this episode of our podcast gonna be? I need to leave.
You ask that every time.
So Andy's like, I can't tell anybody what you say to me. It's a doctor rule. I'll keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to commercial, come back, and the mother is there. And Andy's like, we have to tell everybody.
It's even better. You skipped that the kid was like, you said you wouldn't say anything. you said, and it was like so dramatic as buildup, and then they were like, we already told the secret. Yep. Too bad. Like, he built it up. That kid was right. Like terrified.
Yeah, like, can't tell anybody. And then cut to commercial.
You promised. Ah! And then it was just normal.
Come back, and he's like, the kid seems fine.
I liked Eric's joke. Like, he said, I have two newspapers on the line. That was such a great joke.
We need the names of all your friends. We've got newspaper on the line. Everwood Pinecone is ready to go.
So what do you say? They were hanging out in some fort in the woods, right?
Yeah.
Like, and how gross is that fort that they had sex in? What surface?
I mean, especially after. Maybe it was a really nice fort.
I've seen forts kids make in the woods. It's gross. It's real gross.
Maybe a rich kid made it.
Okay.
And it was made of... It had, like, real building plans. Also, you know what's really sad? I thought they were talking about, like, a fort, like an old ruins of a fort. Not like Fort a kid's Sumter? Fort. Yeah.
One of them fucked on a cannon. And apparently it was just one of them.
Just one of them fucked a cannon. I don't know what sex actually is.
I've done it all and more.
I put my hand in the cannon. I sat on the tip of the cannon, but just the tip. The tip of the cannon.
Oh my god!
Oh.
You're right. This is very Pork Fried Dice podcast.
The next part in the storyline is a little parrot party in Andy's doctor's office.
Pan around the room. So many people there.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be like...
Like maybe three of the kids, so like three sets of parents. But no, this is like... Were there 10 kids?
Yeah, a lot of kids. That was definitely a lot of kids.
And the one father is like... Who was it? What kid made up these lies? And he's like, I'm not saying. And then
immediately.
Like, a Travis kid, wasn't it?
And his mom is there.
Yeah, and she's just like,
so terrible.
She's trying to pretend to be with the crowd, but her acting is terrible. She's just like, oh no.
What if her decision to that point was less about protecting Travis and more about protecting herself? Uh-huh. She's like, yeah, bro, I love that Travis kid. That loser.
Oh my god.
Oh, fuck. Well, the woman who says that it's a Travis kid, isn't it? My sister was a nurse at his last school, and I know for a fact he saw a counselor.
Yeah, which is like the dumb... Like, I was
so her sister, a school nurse, gossiped to her about a kid from another school
who saw a counselor. That's his crime. That's what I was saying before. That's what was supposed to make us go,
that's so damning.
A 13-year-old has spoken to a counselor. Like, it was so stupid.
How dare he seek emotional support? Andy vents to Nina later. While Nina tries fixing a bike. I don't think she succeeds.
I think she's just playing with it. I don't think she's too bad.
I was just watching her clothes just like, if it was a real bike, start to get chain grease all over. It's like droopy sleeves just like reaching over. I'm like, your shirt's ruined, lady.
She makes the point to Andy that in this small town of Everwood, anonymity... Mm-hmm. Doesn't work here. She kind of gives like a devil's advocate position for the parents not wanting to like confront this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they're trying to teach your kids how to survive in a small town. And then Travis's mom shows up at Nina's house.
Yeah, right?
With Travis, who's been beaten up. But she's like, Nina, are you here?
He's like looking for help or...
Yeah, like Nina, like maybe she was hoping that she knows that her neighbor is this doctor, and so she knows if she went to Nina, Nina would get her friend, the genius surgeon,
come over here.
But meanwhile, where's Delia?
I don't know. She's dead.
She's probably wasn't in her even house, in, it at all. In bed, maybe, or...
Real? How late?
They're just next door.
Maybe there's another sex club.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Delia, Sam, Arnie.
Oh, Jesus. Brittany. I mean, that's what happens when you expose them to porn that young. Way to go, Delia. But their sex club is just like pretending their bodies are musical instruments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. These are bongos.
Travis, who's been beaten up, tries telling Andy, I lied about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's like, nah, you didn't.
Yeah. Can you tell me, I feel like I missed it multiple times, but like, why was he so immediately convinced that he knew the truth and it was that these kids were having a sex club in the woods in a fort? Like, he was so convinced. That's why I kept going, is he going to be wrong? Like, is this kid just a weird liar? Like, was there evidence? Okay, so like, we're determining that he's like a detective level.
Well, I mean, at this point, it was because the kids beat him up.
Okay, right. It.
Like, it's a serious thing that they're trying to hide or are scared of. Like,
right.
That's even more proof, basically. It's not proof.
It's not proof, though, because kids are fucking dumb. And like, maybe they beat him up.
Kids are fucking dumbly. Fucking dumbly.
Yeah, they're fucking cannons in a fort. It's a stupid way to go.
What a way to go. I don't know. I think Andy just... I think he is a detective. Ever since Everwood Confidential.
Okay.
In season one, I think that he is on the side of a real detective.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I was misled. Like, I didn't know what show I was watching. That's why I kept asking, like, what show am I watching? Like, are we supposed to wonder if he's going to find something else out? Like, he seemed so secure.
I think you're knowing you're watching a show.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you're like, what's happening with the story?
Yeah, so that's interesting. Because when I watch Everwood, I believe that I'm into the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend that you guys do that too. I didn't realize that you weren't doing that.
Oh, I am. I thought the framing device was like The Office or Parks and Rec or whatever. Where like, sure. I'm basically putting myself in the body of this cameraman documenting.
Yeah. Let me be clear. Like, this is a real place.
Yeah. You've been there. Your friend grew up there. You talked to them about it.
My friend.
Your Colorado friend.
She wasn't a friend. She was a romantic connection.
Oh, that's different.
Well, but also now they're not even friends, so.
Yeah, we're not really... shout out to Sophie. Sophie, hope you're doing well.
My non-friend.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's a legit shout out, though, Sophie. Sophie was really into, like, water.
Wow.
Like, water as, like policy and, like, the water table. And, like yep. Just really knowledgeable about stuff that I was, like, I didn't know water was a thing that I had to give a shit about.
Yeah.
Also, she knew the new sea shanties.
Okay, that's cool.
She must have been very happy in the past year.
Yeah, when sea shanties took off. Or... if I was her, I would be annoyed that, like, this niche thing that I was into. Oh,
she gets
now...
all hipster about it?
Mm.
I would. I don't know if she did. Well, then we have the parents back in Andy's office insisting that our kids are not involved in some kind of sex club. And Andy, I guess, threatens to tell the health department. Mm-hmm. And then one mother is like, I believe my kid had sex.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't go to soccer practice anymore.
And we used to talk to each other.
And now all she does is make thrusting motions. When she thinks I'm not watching.
Just picturing that.
Yeah.
This woman in the house with her daughter, she turns around to like look at something in the stove and the daughter just starts thrusting.
She keeps making, like, kaboom sounds for some reason.
Yep.
And she's been watching the History Channel a lot more lately. Don't know why. Oh, Jesus Christ. And I guess we are to figure that those parents are now on their way toward confronting the truth and dealing with it, which is good for them.
It's great for them.
Andy catches Nina up, and Nina finally, 5 months after
damn Nina,
Carl 5 months
leaves her, she tells Andy the truth.
Yeah.
And after that, I told Carl to leave, and he did, and he never came back. That was 5 months ago. And he sends a check every month with a note for Sam, but we haven't spoken.
Why didn't you tell me about this? I wish you would have. I mean, instead of keeping it to yourself all this time.
Well, you haven't had the easiest summer yourself. Besides, I think I had this idea that if no one else knew, it would be like the whole thing never happened. But when I think about the whole town knowing about something like this, about Sam finding out and other kids knowing and his teacher.
I have to tell the whole town about this.
Now who's counseling keeping secrets?
You told me. And it's real. You'll tell people when you're ready. When this doesn't hurt so much anymore.
And when will that be?
Which is so, I mean, it's cathartic. I'm like, Jesus, like, thank mm-hmm. God that she finally, you know.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, in the position she is, she didn't, she had to confront that with other people a lot later than most people would. Because mm-hmm. he's yeah. always gone.
Right.
So it's easy to just put it off and stuff. But man, that's.
I guess I'm yeah. the only one who, like, during that scene, I felt really bad for Nina, but not because of the, like, her having to admit that. Like, I felt bad because apparently Andy comes over to talk about problems all the time. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't say anything for mm-hmm. 5 months. Like, that makes me mm-hmm. feel bad that, like, he's a bad friend or something. Like, I just, like, you don't notice how she's, like, shifting in her seat when she's listening
so
to
uncomfortable.
Him. Yeah, mm-hmm. and he's just not even listening at all. Like, and I can't wait until they finally get together, which is what I thought in the first episode, I think, that we watched. But I swear to God, like, I was like, what is happening?
I mean, I don't know
there?
That she's necessarily been that the way the whole time. I'm thinking in these conversations, mm-hmm. it's about keeping secrets. That's what's making her, like, physically, right. you know, react to it. Not just when they're talking about, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but 5 months, if this guy, you're watching his fucking kids, you're there for him all the time, you're listening to his fucking complaints, most of which are really stupid.
Yeah, it sucks.
Don't say this huge thing that's happening.
No, you were putting it a little on him, saying he's a bad friend for not noticing. I'm not saying.
I do put it on Treat Williams for not noticing Stephanie Nick's problems. He's just a baby, oblivious man. Look, Adam's not even paying attention, so this is our podcast now. Get out of here, Adam. What? We're the biggest Everwood fans.
No, I was thinking, I feel like there might... I agree with you. I think that that is part of the dynamic of the Andy Nina friendship is that he talks a lot and
she helps.
I think it's kind of one-sided.
Yeah. Yeah. She helps so much. She's so wise and, like, helpful. And then, like, doesn't even disclose this speech. I feel so bad for her. That's just me.
Poor Nina. What else we got going on in this episode? We have, more Linda stuff. I don't like that Irv asks her, is there a special man in your life that's heteronormative?
It certainly is.
It's so 2003.
Come on, Everwood. You're supposed to be groundbreaking!
Irv, it's an interesting kind of like trying to track.
Weird. That was
like,
weird.
Yeah, people's kind of like emotional stakes and perspectives in this episode. Mm-hmm. It got kind of like messy.
It definitely did.
I at least like that it wasn't really straightforward and boring.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Like, it kept me curious, like, yes. oh, like, what is Irv's problem with Edna? What is Edna mm-hmm. and Harold, like, they have different kind of attitudes mm-hmm. toward Linda.
Rose is just there.
Rose is just there. We find out that Linda did not come home for their father's funeral.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for holding on to all this for me.
Well, I wasn't about to throw father's things away just because you didn't claim them.
Well, it's not like I had any place to put it. I haven't had a real home in 6 years.
Doctors Without Borders. Or apartments.
Is it your plan just to throw barbs at me until I bludgeon you?
I'm not sure what you mean.
What is your problem? Should I not have come home?
No, my problem is that you should have come home 3 years ago.
I told you then that I couldn't make it home for Dad's funeral. I was halfway across the world.
So what? For family, you come home anyway, even when you can't.
There was a civil war going on. There were no flights.
I could have been trapped at the bottom of the ocean. I would have made it home. You come home. That's what you do for family. All right, maybe not for the funeral, but the first second you could. It's been 3 years, Linda. For crying out loud, we needed you here.
It's not that simple. Besides, Mom seems okay.
Oh, well, Mother was fine. Hell, she was dancing in her second wedding before Dad's wreath wilted. It wasn't just her, don't you get it? I needed you.
I'm here now, Harry.
Wonderful. So when do you leave?
Which is a moment of vulnerability for Harold, which I really liked.
Because before I thought the reactions that he was had, like the whole negativity crazy seemed so over the top. And then he said that, and I'm like, right. Oh, like, Everwood, like you get me so many times, not every time, but so many times you get it, man. I did not expect it. And it was justified. Like, right. If she hadn't fucking been home at all since the father's funeral, that's crazy. That would be super awkward and, yeah, not cool.
Yeah. And she's like, well, Mom seems fine. And he's like, yeah, Mom's fine. It's not about her.
Yeah.
I needed you.
Yeah.
Which is a really nicely delivered line by Tom Amandus.
Oh, his face in so many moments in this episode was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great actor. She's like, I'm here now. And he's like, wonderful. So when do you leave?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, oh boy. Edna is cooking. Irv is like, whoa! What? What is this thing that you have on? Uh-huh. What are you doing with that knife? Those vegetables. Whoa!
That's a really good impression.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was almost offensive.
Is that how Adam thinks black people talk? What is happening?
Let's go play laser tag.
So in the first scene with Irv, Edna, and Linda, there were these like meaningful looks between between Linda and Irv.
Yes, which, I was confused.
No, I wasn't.
I mean, yeah, what was
he was it was showing that Edna is just mm-hmm. absorbed and consumed by the stories and whatnot, and mm-hmm. whereas Irv is like seeing Linda as a person and can tell what the reveal is
right,
later.
But okay, maybe it's the actress, but the I guess Desperate Housewives actress, the sister
Linda.
The way that she looked at Irv at one point almost looked like, I thought there was going to be like a racism problem or something. She was like, so Irv, tell me about yourself. And then she had a cup and it was like this really weird reaction. I'm like, what's this?
It seemed to me like they were confiding each other about Edna.
Right. Yeah. Like I got it later,
but then in this scene, right in the kitchen, Irv, you know, says like, don't you think she seemed lonely?
Yeah.
So that seems like what he was kind of.
Yeah, no, that was what I thought the first time through was that he was seeing there was something going on with her that like she's, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, Edna was rude too, like because she wouldn't even let Irv like ask a question, which never really was that ever explained.
That's exactly it, right? Edna was so like was actively dismissive of like, no, we're just a couple of old farts, like our lives don't matter. I want to hear about your, but like I feel like they were trying to like string that forward, but like Irv got like upset by it sooner than he really had to to be believable, because then he like confronts her. He's like, don't assume she's unhappy because she doesn't have what we have. So it's like, yeah, it's like setting up this, you know, an interesting kind of dynamic here that I'm still, I guess, I'm struggling to parse out.
Yeah, me too.
But we'll track that as we go. We get a great Abbott family dinner. Kids are nowhere to be seen because they've got their own shit going on. Mm-hmm. Edna asks, like, would you pass the, and Irv is like, shove it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just funny. Kind of coming in hot there.
Yes.
Harold refers to Linda as Indiana Jones. Irv calls Edna pumpkin butt.
I know it's a TV show, but it just was like, really? All these people are mad at each other. They're still sitting down to a normal dinner. They're going to attempt this even though right away they're like.
Well, no, that's the thing. I think that's what they were trying to set up and just in what the dynamic of that was. That was like the culmination of it. Not everybody's mad at everybody. Somebody's mad at one person and it's different people.
But it's so many people and like some of these little fights are so obvious to everybody. Like daughter and Irv know that, like, that's weird with Nina. Edna. So god damn it, I don't know names. Edna. And then Harold and sister and then Edna not liking how it's just so much. Like
there's a lot of cross conflict,
and like they didn't feel that before. Like what family, I guess, you know what, maybe it's just my existence, do families go sit down at tables when they're that upset with each other?
I think families who just do it out of like habit.
Yikes.
Dr. Habit.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I think I just cracked the case.
Back in the habit.
Oh,
I get it. Sister act.
Mm-hmm.
Linda is acting like his sister.
We finally figured out what the title of the episode means. My Brother's Keeper. It's referencing sister act. Back in the Abbott.
Okay. Linda chooses this highly tense dinner to reveal that she is back to stay. She would like to join the practice. And predictably, Harold does not receive that well.
I came back to stay.
Where?
Here, Everwood. I want to move back home and join the practice.
My practice?
Our practice.
Our practice?
Well, the family practice. I came back because I want to be a part of this family again, Harry.
You want to give up your freedom for this fly speck on a road map? What do you want to do that for? That's not who you are.
I'm tired of who I am, Mom. Tired of living my life out of a backpack. I've seen everything I need to see. What I haven't seen is family. It's Bright growing up and Amy becoming a teenager, becoming interested in boys. You and Irv making a life for yourself. And Rose and Harry growing older together. And I've just been without roots for too long. What I really need is a home. I just need to come home. What do you say, Harry?
You want to be a part of our family. You don't want to miss out. You already did. Bright grew up. Amy got interested in boys a long time ago. See, we've all made new lives and gotten older, and you missed the whole damn thing. And now you want to cash in without having earned it? Over my dead body. You left us. We left you. Go find your center somewhere else. Thank you, Mother, for a lovely, wonderful meal.
I personally think that is presumptuous of her.
It's the family practice.
Obviously he's ridiculous for like being upset that she's coming home, or like a little bit anyway, like to that degree. Like, but for her to just be like, not even ask him, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird to me.
Well, I wonder if she ever had, if there was ever a time in your life where she was a doctor and in the practice.
Maybe.
Because if she had been, at least for a time, then it might make sense that she just feels like, yeah, I can go back whenever. But if she's never been part of the family practice, then it definitely is kind of like, well.
Yeah.
And that is exactly how Harold responds. It's like, that's presumptuous and not going to happen.
Yeah.
You left us, we left you.
Bitch.
Ouch.
Bitch. Harold goes to meet Edna in the bar.
Orders a milk.
And he does indeed order milk, 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. And so, you know, again, Edna is trying to take responsibility for having left when she did when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
It shaped both of you. She's an adventurer, always will be. Just like you're the guy who will always stay. Out of fear, out of obligation.
Mother, the hour is late. I am in no mood for, nor do I have the patience to tolerate your dime store analysis.
Well, can you tolerate an apology? Because I am sorry, Junior. You see, I have certain limitations. You might say motherhood did not come real natural to me. Your father knew that when he married me. He understood.
Well, he wasn't your child. You know, I can forgive all of the burnt cheese sandwiches, the forgotten school holidays, the bad Halloween costumes. Hell, you know, I can even forget the birthday that you forgot last year. But why did you leave? I still remember that moment, tears streaming down my face. If I could, if I would have run after that train. Oh, and then the 3 years you were absent, those were pleasant. I got to raise a little sister while you hid out in a foreign country under the guise of patriotic duty. You know, that isn't a limitation, Mother. That is abandonment.
I didn't know any better. By the time I did, it was too late. Don't let Linda make the same mistake. Your sister wants to come home. Please, let her.
Here, let me bring up all the shitty things you did. I don't care about those. Here's the big shitty thing I care about.
Yeah, abandonment seems so, like, much the way she abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that his sister did the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, kind of just, like, this kind of messy patchwork of, like, character psychologies and conflicts in this episode that, you know, again, like, I'm glad that at least that it's not totally
boring
or mundane. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's real life, man.
It's real life, man.
Everyone is real, as we've established.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Linda, at the end of the episode, is unpacking her things at Harold's office. Still very presumptuous, but
who cares?
Harold is like, well, all right, fine.
Yep.
I think with Harold, you have to do things like that. Like, that's the thing. Like, maybe it's because I know I, like, kind of compare him to Will in my characterization of my freaking character from a D&D game. But he is going to hold on to irritations and grudges until somebody kind of steamrolls it and says, listen, you want me home. That's why you're mad. You're mad because I wasn't here. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. Sure, I can start another practice or I can be here. So just shut up and let me do this. And he's like, it's what I want anyway. Fine. La, 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 la. Like, it felt very appropriate to me because nobody is ever going to get, like, imagine if he decided he wanted somebody in that office. Imagine the interviews, you guys. Like, he would never let anyone there. So, like, his sister, who we just learned how much that mattered to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It is presumptuous, but I liked it. Because you know what? Dr. Abbott needs his butt kicked sometimes.
And she would know that.
Yes. And that's his sister. I thought that was good writing. Yes.
I like it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the episode ends on another flashback to them as kids. With no Irv narration. So, but you know, thrilled about that.
I was lost. I didn't know what show it was anymore.
So what else is happening in this episode? Ephraim and Bright.
Oh, here we go. Finally. The A story.
Bright asks Ephraim to spy on Amy for him. And Ephraim is like, what do you think this is, Harriet the Spy? I know I was an Harriet the Spy, but wait, this is everyone.
he's not a black character, Adam.
Oh, damn it.
Ephraim, God, delete all of that.
Ephraim sees Amy and Lainey later. They are planning on going to a college party. And they're going to go back to Lainey's house first to prepare to go to the college party Ephraim says, "Can I come?" Which is a really sad little moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They clearly do not want you to come, Ephraim, but he can't help it. He just has to compulsively care about Amy and keep an eye on her. So they do some pre-gaming or practice drinking vodka at Lainey's house.
Oh, Amy.
Yeah.
How fucking lame are kids?
That's what freaking out. They can't drink vodka without freaking the fuck out. Grow up. You know? Ephraim is his bedroom. Little scene with him and his dad. Talking about breaking confidentiality. Tonight's episode, by the way.
Oh.
Brought to you by Everwood Practice Doors Incorporated. Do you need a practice door at home to practice knocking on while your teenage son is in school? Has your teenage son accused you of not being good at knocking on his bedroom door before barging in? You can buy a practice door from us, Everwood Practice Doors Incorporated.
I'll take one!
Hey. I really thought that would be funnier.
I liked the voice. I was just listening. It was a good character, this hesitant salesman.
I liked Andy's line. When he knocks, he comes in, and Ephraim's like, "You're better at that." And he's like, "I practice when you're not here." Uh-huh. I guess it's just really a funny image of like Andy practicing knocking when Ephraim's at home. It's funny, god damn it.
Do you think he practices with different emotions, like angry knocks, hesitant knocks, loving knocks, concerned knocks?
Maybe. Well, at Everwood Practice Doors Incorporated, you can get a different door for whatever emotion you're trying to knock with. We've got angry knocks. We've got...
Wait, you're selling the knocks now?
We've got sex club doors where you're afraid that your middle school kids are on the other side having a sex club. And so if you want to knock on that door with a kind of denial, then you can get that door. Everwood Practice Doors Incorporated. We give you hard knocks so you don't have to.
I think you should have cast a black guy in the commercial.
Whoa! Everwood! We're the only black owned business in Everwood!
Oh, my face.
Andy. Jesus. Andy tells Ephraim that he should share whatever information he has that can help somebody.
You okay, Adam?
No! We're not. That practice doors bit was really rough.
I was paying attention the whole time, waiting for it to start to make sense.
To being funny.
No, it's certainly entertaining. It might not have been 1,000% funny the whole time, but come on. I was watching a character form, an ad idea form. It was brilliant. I loved it.
Thank you.
Entertaining, 100%.
As a fellow writer of fake ads.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. Ephraim and Bright team up to go to the frat party that Lainey and Amy went to.
Ephraim's fucking shirt.
Yeah.
What a fucking loser.
No, it's a cool shirt.
Cool. To wear a fucking frat party.
Yep.
But not to go even. He's even trying to attend.
Acting like a dad.
God.
Yep.
The thing is, if I were him, I would just like go, but then like hide so that Amy didn't see that I was there.
Right. And then see you what know? She does. Yeah.
And then jump out at her.
Yeah.
Bright and Amy have a little confrontation at the party.
I can't believe you, Amy. You're pretending to be in college to impress some frat dicks. Do you think Colin would want to see you like this? Hmm? Being a total drunk slut at some party?
Well, at least I wasn't drinking and driving.
What is that supposed to mean?
You know what that's supposed to mean. Colin would still be here if it weren't for you.
Well, maybe he'd still be here if it weren't for you. Huh? If you wouldn't have lied about him for so long, he might have been able to get some help. But since you covered for him till he was practically dead already...
That's not true.
All I know is I'm not going to lie like that for you. If you don't come with us right now, I'm telling Dad exactly where you were tonight. I'm not covering for you.
So, yeah, a lot of intense stuff.
Mm-hmm. They're both culpable.
They're both at fault for Colin's death.
They killed the heart of Everwood.
Yeah, they really did.
The heart of Everwood. That's so great. What did we think about Bright Ephraim?
It's fine. I know Chris.
Wow.
No, it's just because I know Chris Pratt has to be the show. So, like, I'm trying to get over it.
But if he's going to be in the show, then, like, it's kind of.
Yeah.
So, I like, back then, Chris Pratt wasn't problematic yet.
Right.
For me, it was, like, at that time, it was just, like, seeing this character go from being, like, a total bully asshole in season one.
Yeah.
And then kind of, like, a dumbass mm-hmm. to being kind of this likable, more likable goof.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, kind of this starting to see kind of a friendship with, or some kind of connection right between him and Ephraim form. It was mm-hmm. fun to watch.
Yes.
And it is, you know.
Anything that takes us away from the stagnant stuff, like with the teen stuff, all of that stuff was bothering me in the first season. Every time it was just the same drama or whatever. Having him be like, they developed that. They certainly did. Like, we thought he was a jerk. We thought he was a bully. We mm-hmm. thought he was completely stupid. And yes, he's stupid, but it becomes like a side joke. Like, right, I'm not smart, whatever. And like, you know, he's not a bad guy. We've seen that all develop, and I'm fucking fine with it. Just he's a nice guy, whatever. Whatever! And then somebody kills him, right? Does that happen at the end?
It's you.
It's me. Season 5.
You don't remember? You don't remember being in Everwood? The real... I think you're trying to remember, like, if you were ever on a TV show, but ever. That's not what I'm asking. And I think that's what's confusing.
I did go to Colorado once in college, so the timing doesn't work out. But wait, meet does it?
Probably not.
Kind of does. Probably does.
It does.
Wait, when did you graduate?
It definitely does. 2006.
Maybe it does. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It works out perfect.
Okay, so when I was hiking in the mountains,
You killed
Chris
somebody,
Pratt.
But this is like an Oedipus Rex situation where you didn't know it was Chris Pratt at the time.
Yeah. So that feels
Wait,
better
Chris
now that
Pratt
I know
Chris Pratt is
it.
Your mom?
Chris Pratt is
yes.
Is your dead father.
Dad.
Jesus Christ. You're terrible. That started out as a funny joke and then it was like, oh. Yeah. Good Lord.
Just like all of our jokes today. Woohoo!
Time for our favorite segment.
Yay!
Are you going to Vietnam, Mom? Parsley, sage, rosemary, TV time.
Yay!
Vietnam, Mom should be the name of something.
Yes.
It's my next OkCupid username.
Wow.
That,
why?
I don't think we'll have the intended.
Vietnam Mom. It's an Everwood reference. Hello?
Oh my God.
You never watched Everwood? Are you living under a rock? All right. My Brother's Keeper on TV Time. 4 years ago, TV Time user Mad Ooh. Wrote, wow, Bright and Ephraim being nice to each other. Little cute smile emoji.
Wow.
Sure, yeah, I watched the episode 2, Mad.
Wow.
3 years ago, TV Time user Paula wrote, I see a Bright Ephraim friendship blossoming, and I'm loving it. A couple of emojis I can't be bothered to describe. Also 3 years ago, TV Time user Carlision Laurent wrote, finally getting to know who Linda is. Haha, seeing her character in the vote for an actor section was weird and was so confusing. Hashtag vote for Linda. Yeah, TV time.
Oh, yeah, you can vote for your favorite, right?
Yeah, and it shows you characters like who might not even show up until later seasons.
Oh, that's so weird.
1 year ago, TV time user Blessed wrote,
hashtag,
I ate Edna.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Sex club.
She pretend to be strong, but the truth is that she is a bad mom, not for leaving her children, but for her behavior in general. That's a hot take.
Yeah, I mean, she's not a great mom, probably.
But to eat her over it, that's really extreme.
Yeah. I ate Edna. I mean, it's a Simpsons reference. I ate the dog. You ate him? Simpsons? Anybody?
Who's that? Caretaker Willie?
Yeah, it is.
Cool. It's a good guess.
And 1 month ago, TV time user Julie wrote, Bright is handsome. Heart eyes emoji. This might be the most disappointing set of TV time comments.
Yeah.
I will go ahead and like the Bright Ephraim comments.
I think you need to go back and describe those emojis you weren't bothered to describe.
All right. The Paula's, it was, I see a Bright Ephraim friendship blossoming and I'm loving it. The first emoji is the person with like, not like a shrug with both hands up, but just with one hand up next to their face. Like, like this. Uh-huh. And then the second emoji is a hand waving. That's it.
So,
I'm here. I'm loving it. Like,
I'm loving it. Like raising the roof. Is that the gesture from here to here?
They're not black emojis. If it was, it would be like,
what the fuck? Eric dates a black. Eric. Adam dates a black person. I just said Eric dates a black.
Adam dates a black
person.
Not anyone person.
He dates one of the blacks. Oh my goodness gracious. Jerome, come back. Save us from ourselves.
This has been
Run Away, Jerome.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, TV time. Let's write the episode.
You're missing a segment.
You are.
No, we'll do treats tweets after this.
What?
I think.
Fine.
There's nothing to do with the episode.
Go.
Wow.
That's my impression of Eric.
Wow.
I didn't say the magic word.
Wow.
In anticipation, I'd say 5. I was looking forward. I knew that, Harold's sister was showing up, and I remember thinking that that was could be kind of a fun mix up in Everwood in the Abbott family. While watching 4, I thought the middle schoolers having sex thing felt uncomfortable.
It's supposed to, Adam.
Oh, good. Yeah, true.
That means you're a good person.
Yeah, I guess it's fair.
Great.
Yeah, I love the middle schoolers having sex. I thought that was really exciting.
Oh my god.
And I think a 4 in retrospect because
it's taking you this long to think of a reason.
Because I didn't like the part about the practicing knocking on the door. I thought that was stupid, and it was bad inspiration for a bad bit. So,
whoa!
I blame the writers. I blame Everwood for that. Because if it had been a better episode, it would have been a better bit.
What if Treat improvised that line?
Yeah. Which I kind of feel like he did. He probably did.
I don't think he did.
Yes, it's so corny.
Well, okay, so the scripted line, so if Ephraim is like, you're getting good at that, I bet the scripted line was just for Andy to be like, you're getting good at that. which was pretty incredible. So 5-4-4 for me.
Okay. In anticipation, 5 stars. Threw out some nice theories about what the episode could be about last time. Was glad to see they all came true. I'm gonna give it
yes. Oh my goodness.
Is this the sound editing for the sex club?
No, you cut out, you edited out my sound from before.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna give it a 5.
Wow.
I enjoyed watching this episode.
Daddy.
It felt like I don't know, like I the way they were jumping between the stories, like I was okay with sort of all of them. I wasn't like disappointed to like leave one to go to the other. I thought it worked really well together. And then in retrospect, I'm going to stick with the 5. I think like I was like, as we were going over everything, I was amazed by how much they fit into this episode. I think they did a really good job of having a lot of content packed in a way that was interesting. And there didn't seem like much filler.
Sure, sure.
The end.
Cool.
Nice. KT?
All right. So I'm going to be honest and say my anticipation was pretty low because I was a little worried that maybe season 2 would suck. What's after the last episode. It's a 3. I like watching it with you. So it's not like I was like, I want to watch it, but I was like worried that it was going to be bad. While watching, I would say 4. Like, it's not the best, but yes, it kept me entertained the whole time. There was a weird sex club situation. There was confusion, but it had a lot of Dr. Abbott and Edna, and I love both of those characters, and the actors did such a great job in so many ways. I'm really excited to see the relationship between Dr. Abbott and his sister. Dr. Abbott, I guess. Mm-hmm. 2 Dr. Abbotts.
Mrs. Abbott, I think.
Super cute.
Lady Abbott.
Ah, Vagina Abbott. You're right. But yeah, but so like in the discussion afterwards, I would say 5 because like, yes, like there were some things that I still thought were weird, but like I love the discussion. I know that it's not a rating of the discussion, but I think it made the episode just better. Like upon reflection, the episode was better. Yeah.
Hell yes. That's a 5-4-4 from me, 5-5-5 from Eric, and a 3-4-5 from KT.
Yeah.
Put it in your spreadsheet, folks.
All right. Time for our second to last segment. Treats, tweets.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
All right. So this week in treats, tweets, he's still up in British Columbia. I found out he's on Vancouver Island. That's where they film Chesapeake Shores. He filmed a lot of videos of running water that he shared with us, which was very nice. One of them was captioned, "Don't mess with Mother Nature."
It wasn't just like a faucet. Like
it was not. Yeah.
Faucet.
He did some signal boosting for someone involved with the show. Was it a costume person or producer? I can't remember. They had a lost cat. Then good news, the cat was found.
Aww.
I'm sure it was because of Treat.
Yeah, probably.
So that happened. Yeah, that's all I can remember.
Great. Thanks for reporting in, Eric.
Sure. You're welcome.
This has been Treat Tweets.
Did you do the right amount of tweets this time?
I don't know.
More like I.
Is that enough? Well,
I'm not going to take it seriously. Why are we even doing a podcast?
I don't know.
What if I just stopped the recording right there?
More like.
See, the funny part about this is that I think I said it originally, like, I'm the one who just did it, but now you just keep wanting me to change it.
No, yeah, you got it right the first time.
Yeah, I know, and then I can't do whatever I did. I don't remember what I did. I gotta listen.
A little, like, sparks kind of exploding in front of your face.
Wow.
Like taking up the whole screen on my end, right? Like,
okay.
Okay. Oh, like in the movie theater when the robot zooms all around your head or whatever in the speakers.
I don't know what you're talking about.
In like the Dolby surround sound where it's like a robot zooms around on the screen and then it looks like he shoots off to the side and then you hear him go all the way around your head and then come back on the other side of the screen.
You have surround sound? What are you?
I will say tonight marks a notable occasion in Everwood Never Wouldn't. I just used the last two pages of the notepad that I've been using to take notes.
Oh shit.
For Everwood Never Wouldn't. So I don't know. I guess I'll just use my laptop next time.
Wow.
Or out of paper.
You could tattoo them on yourself.
Yeah, I guess I could, Eric.
I don't want you to have to use your laptop.
Hang up. Yeah.
Let's do some predictions.
Oh boy.
Episode 4 is called East Meets West.
Oh man. Okay. Well, it's gonna be that the sister doctor has
I want to be very clear about something though. It is M-E-A-T-S.
Okay.
I kid.
So it's pork dumplings and roast beef.
Yeah.
In an episode. It's going to be that the doctor, because of all her travels, she's going to have like different philosophies of medical treatment. Like she's got some herbal stuff or some, you know, holistic medicines that Dr. Abbott is not going to be very excited about. That's what my prediction is.
Eric, what do you think?
Okay.
Would you have guessed that if I hadn't said
well,
that?
Well.
Oh, he always has to come up with a silly prediction. Here we go. Let's... Oh, he's mad that, that I said
look.
That.
Look. Oh, he's so mad just now. His eyes like look like they just got hollow.
Uh-oh.
You hear, listeners, what I have to deal with? You wonder why you don't hear me during 80% of this podcast. Now you know.
Jesus so Christ.
East yeah. must refer to the
his blood pressure is rising just from him trying to pretend to be angry.
To be clear, it is it is yeast.
Oh,
yeast meets M-E-A-T-S vest. Sorry, yeast meets vest.
Okay, what is it about, Eric?
So yeast clearly refers to the sitcom that Delia has decided to write called Vietnam Mom.
Yeah.
Because yeast is kind of like east. And east, Vietnam is an eastern country. Mm. And then west, so Edna... It wants to cast in Vietnam Mom Mae West, but she's dead, and we find out that Edna's been talking to her like Andy was talking to Julia in the first season, and so it's this sort of TV pilot idea that Delia's working on. Coming together with this serious condition that Edna has.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
I hope it's that.
And in her vision of Mae West, like how she sees her when she appears, she's wearing a vest.
Awesome. I guess we'll have to see next week who is right. And who is Bright?
Oh no!
KT was so disappointed. Well, that's it. That's it. All right, everybody. This has been Ever Would, Never Wouldn't.
Yay.
Express our utmost appreciation for you listening to this podcast in the post-apocalyptic doomscape that is 2023. Hope you're hanging in there out there. And from all of us here on the other side of history,
can't believe we can laugh while we're in this hellscape.
Do
you sound like a zombie.